In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You probably, some of you maybe put Christmas stuff away already, but some of you probably haven't. And so a lot of you probably still have your nativities in your house, or we've still got one here under the church. And a nativity scene, you know, is real serene, peaceful. You got the shepherds adoring the baby Jesus and the wise men offering their gifts and worshiping Him. What you won't ever see in a nativity scene is what our gospel reading gives us today. What we could maybe put in a nativity scene sometime is King Herod rushing after the baby Jesus, knife in hand. Because that's our text today. This is where the child Jesus starts to suffer. And it's a bit shocking because we've been through Christmas and the peaceful time, the serenity of it all. And then here comes this text where this angel tells Joseph, get out of here because Herod is going to destroy your child. And that's shocking. I mean, why would anyone want to destroy, you know, this innocent child who's born the Savior for the entire world? But King Herod does. And there's a bigger point to be made here, and that is about suffering, which I already said at the beginning of the service. So what we're going to talk about today is suffering. See, there will always be suffering in the world until Jesus comes again or until you and I die and go to heaven. There's going to be suffering. And the reason is because wherever good is at, evil is always going to be right there at hand. The scripture readings this morning are all teaching us about this suffering. Because what you have here, anything good, of course, comes from God. And anything evil comes from the devil. So the real thing going on here is a battle between God and evil. God and the devil, they're not going to coexist peacefully. And so we shouldn't think that good and evil are going to ever coexist peacefully. And so there's always going to be suffering. You know, God comes into the world. What do we expect is going to happen? The devil's going to go after him. Sometimes we forget this very quickly. And we get the idea that the world can actually live, you know, in peace and, you know, this kind of utopia existence. We forget that. And we start thinking that, you know, maybe our country can have this great peace where everybody gets along perfectly. That is never going to happen. And we need to understand that there's always going to be suffering. Because wherever God is working in the world, then the devil is going to be working against Him. And anywhere you have something good in the world, there's going to be evil close at hand. There's always going to be suffering, and there is right now. Maybe, you know, right here we don't see it, but it's always happening. Different parts of the world, different parts of the church, through the 2,000 years of the church, it's always been there. There's always been suffering. So at Christmas time, don't be surprised by this. We should expect this. God is born into the world. What's going to happen? Evil's going to come after Him. King Herod, we shouldn't be surprised. He's going to be looking to kill Him right away. We shouldn't be surprised that before long, others were looking to put Him to death. Pharisees, scribes, religious leaders, and even our own selves put Him to death on the cross, because that's what's going to happen when good meets evil. But then, now here's this other really interesting thing that our readings give us today. We also shouldn't be surprised, not just that Jesus would suffer, but that we're going to suffer. We should pretty much expect this. Because if we're going to be good, you know, if you want to be good, if you want to be godly, if you want to share in Christ's holiness and His righteousness, then rest assured, you're also going to share His suffering. We should not be surprised. And this is where the title of the sermon today, we're going to have to learn to share. We're going to have to learn to share. Because if we're going to be with Jesus, we're going to share suffering. And none of us wants it. You know, I don't want it. I know you don't want it. The church never wants suffering. But if we're going to live with Jesus, it's what's going to happen. And finally, Peter's going to even tell us why we can even rejoice in it and even glorify God for it. So the first part I want to give you today is just make sure you know all the story of Jesus' suffering. Okay, that's what we want to talk about first. Get the facts of His suffering. So if you remember, the wise men had stopped when they saw the star and they were following it to Bethlehem. They stopped in Jerusalem. That's the right thing to do, you know. You want to talk to the local leaders, talk to King Herod, tell him what you're there for. So if you remember, King Herod gave him a pretty favorable welcome. You know, he said, oh, great, you know, you're looking for the King of the Jews. Well, he said, when you find Him, you come back here and you tell me so I can go and worship Him too. But we know the bigger story. We know about King Herod. You know, Herod was ruthless. This guy was pure evil. This is the guy, you know, you've probably heard little stories about King Herod. He's the guy who killed his own wife because he thought she was turning against him. Killed his own sons because he thought they were rebelling against him. He killed, you know, chief priests. Tons of people. Anybody, if he caught the slightest hint of rebellion, he would just kill him. And so here come the wise men saying, hey, King Herod, we're looking for the king of the Jews. You know, how's he going to take that? Not very good, right? So we know the real story. And we know what King Herod is up to here. So they go and see him. The wise men go and see the baby Jesus, find him. But thankfully, they get warned in a dream, don't go back to King Herod. So this is where the suffering starts. Joseph gets a dream then. And the angel tells him, get out of here quickly tonight, this very night. Take your child, take your new wife, and go to Egypt. And you have to understand, that's a big deal. I mean, in other words, the angel didn't tell Joseph, hey, go back home. That would have been nice, you know, go back home to all your family and friends. But he said, no, go further south, go all the way to Egypt. Here, you know, you're going to live in a foreign land. And there's all this talk today about refugees, right? Well, that's what they were. They were refugees. They had to flee their own country and go live in Egypt because of King Herod and the danger that he posed. So this is the first suffering Jesus has to go through. But then here comes this other suffering, right? What does King Herod do? You think Jesus is out of the water. Joseph and Mary get out of town before he gets there. But what does he do? He decides to kill every male child 2 years old and under, not just in Bethlehem, but all in the surrounding region. I mean, think about all these families that had to suffer, that shared in the suffering of Jesus. And we call it the murder of the innocents. That's what the church has always called this. And it's not that they were innocent like these babies were perfect like Jesus, but they were defenseless. You know, they did nothing to deserve this. They were innocent, murdered for Jesus. They shared his suffering. And then, of course, all of this is just the beginning of the suffering. You know, everywhere Jesus went, the devil was there, evil was there. And so he gets, opposed by religious leaders. He gets insulted, ridiculed. Finally, he gets arrested and beaten and crucified. Now you think about all that suffering. Did Jesus have to go through any of that? No, not any of it. He could have gotten out of all of it. He did not have to be tempted by the devil. He did not have to be arrested. He did not have to be crucified. But he did it to share our weaknesses and to share our sin and to share our death. In other words, what I'm want to get across, Jesus wanted to share with you. He wanted to give you everything that he has. And to do that, he took everything that you have. And all of the gospel is just Jesus sharing with us in baptism. What is baptism? You're baptized into him. You share in his death and resurrection, and he shares with you his perfect righteousness and his eternal life and salvation. In the Lord's Supper, he shares with you his body and blood that he gave for you on the cross. The gospel is Jesus sharing with you. But then this is where we also learn to share something else, his suffering. It's where 1 Peter comes in and says, don't be surprised, guys. Don't be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. This is the way it's going to be when you live with Christ. And think about it this way. It's not strange that we would suffer in the world when you think about all the enemies that God has. Let's take the first one. Who is the first enemy that God has to deal with when it comes to you? He has to deal with your own heart. Now, you think there's going to be some suffering here when God wants you to be, you know, at peace and joyful, and he wants you to have a clean heart, and all the while he's got to battle our sinful hearts, which are full of sin. There's going to be suffering there. You're going to suffer because you're going to be tempted to give in to your sinful heart. You are going to be tempted by greed and anger and lust, and you're going to suffer for it. It's going to be hard. You know, you're going to want to live with Christ and share in his holiness, but your sinful nature is going to do battle against you. That's going to be suffering. Very much. Think about Jesus, 40 days in the wilderness being tempted by the devil. Did he suffer? Yeah, he suffered, and we're going to also. The next enemy that, of course, God has is the devil. And does he want you to suffer? Yeah, he does. He's going to throw every temptation he can at you. He's going to throw every kind of, you know, weakness he can at you. He's going to throw your sins in your face. There's going to be suffering. And then, of course, there's the world. And we have to remember that we are opposed to the views of the world. Okay? Christians are very much part of the world, and we want to make the world as good a place as we can. But the views of the world are opposed to our views. The world thinks that the highest goods are like pleasure, you know, feeling good, being happy. That's not our highest goods. We're opposed to that. Our highest goods are God and His mercy and His grace. That's going to involve suffering. Or put it in a way we can all understand. A large portion of the world thinks Allah is the true God. Are we going to be opposed to that? Is there going to be suffering? Yeah, there is. We don't believe that. That's completely anti to our views. Completely against it. There's going to be suffering for that. We don't believe in like the world does, in a God that kind of says anything goes, you know, whatever makes you feel good. We don't believe in this stuff. It's going to be suffering for us. But here's the good news of it. Peter says, rejoice, because anytime you suffer, you're sharing with Jesus. If you share in His sufferings, you're also going to share in His glory. You're also going to share in His kingdom of heaven. Now, one little caveat that Peter gives you, you got to be careful. He says, if you suffer for being evil, now that doesn't count, okay? If you go and steal from somebody and they put you in prison, that's not suffering. You deserve that. You know, don't try and, you know, if you suffer for being, in other words, a jerk, you know, don't say, oh God, I'm suffering for you. That's not going to work. But if you are suffering for being a Christian, for being good, for trying to be godly and righteous, then Peter says, rejoice, because you are sharing with Christ. He is with you, and He will give you the strength you need to endure that suffering. And finally then, what do you do when you have to suffer? Okay, Peter ends his epistle reading with this. If you have to suffer, entrust your soul to your Creator. This is like in Luther's prayers that we use sometimes in here. We say, for into your hands I commend my body and my spirit, right? Commend everything to God. If you have to suffer, entrust yourself to God and know that He will take care of you. And then Peter says, and do good. Okay, do good. Don't be afraid to be good. Don't be afraid to do good. Yes, there's going to be suffering, and yes, evil is going to constantly be after you, and the devil's going to be after you, but stand strong. Do good. This is what we do in Christ, okay? We share in His goodness, share in His holiness, and we learn how to share in His suffering. And when we do, we rejoice, because we know we'll share in His glory. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.